the fourth vow out of the medicine bearer. I vow that when I attain enlightenment in a future age, if there are sentient beings who tread upon heretical paths, I will cause them all to peacefully abide within the path of enlightenment. If there are those who are adherents of the Sravaka or Prajaka Buddha vehicles, they will all become securely established in the great vehicle, Mahayana. Okay, so what this is talking about is like helping sentient beings to arrive at the correct view. And remember we were talking the other day about a Buddha out of compassion being able to appear as non-Buddhist leaders or as anything that's going to be beneficial for sentient beings. The purpose of doing that is eventually to lead all the sentient beings to the correct view of emptiness. Okay. Now it often comes up, you know, do all religions get to the same place? I have no idea. I think a lot of people say yes, and I think the reason they do that is because they feel that if they say no, then that would cause a lot of disharmony and even killing amongst people of different adherents. Whereas if we say yes, then it acts as a way for people at least to trust each other, even though they believe in different things. Personally speaking, I don't feel the need to say yes in order to be able to respect other religions. Yeah. Because frankly, I mean, I haven't gotten to the end of my own path, let alone to get to the end of the Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Zoroastrian, and all the other paths to see if they're all the same. You know? Because the only way we're ever going to know is by actualizing them. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea if they all lead to the same thing. Also, I think within any specific tradition, any tradition isn't something monolithic. It isn't like all Christians believe the same thing and all Jews believe the same thing. You know? It's like they believe completely different things. If you talk to, you know, a fundamentalist Christian who's been to Bible study, and you talk to, you know, a Catholic contemplative who's been meditating, it sounds like two different religions. Okay? So even, you know, within one religion there's different views. Even within one religion, one word can mean different things, like the word God. Boy, I mean, coming to a definition of that word. Yeah, very difficult. So, you know, people, when they say, you know, can other religions, people of other religions attain enlightenment, I would just say, well, it depends on where their mind's at and what they believe. Yeah? Because people of all different religions believe of all different things. Okay? I mean, you have some people who call themselves Buddhists, but the way they pray to the Buddha is like they're thinking of God. Yeah? So it isn't what you call yourself, it's what your view is. And so I think, you know, it's any system that has the determination to be free of cyclic existence, that has the bodhicitta, and that has the wisdom realizing emptiness, with that kind of system you can reach enlightenment. Okay? Now, those teachings can come out of various people's mouths and be found in various traditions. Perhaps, I have no idea. Yeah, but it depends on people having those kinds of realizations. Yeah? Similarly, like I said, people can call themselves Buddhists but have wrong views. Okay, so that's we're not talking about, you know, the club we belong to. Yeah. So it could happen that bodhisattvas manifest as, you know, people of other religions to help devotees who have more karma with those traditions. Yeah? Because all religions have something about ethical discipline. They all have something about kindness. It's certainly better that somebody has some religious faith that makes them have ethical standards and kindness, rather than somebody have no religious faith and in the name of that not keep any kind of ethical discipline at all. Okay? That people could have no religious faith and have secular ethics and be very ethical, and that's fine. But some people have no religious faith and, you know, act horribly. Of course, some people who are religious act horribly too, but we're going to get to that. Yeah? But in those instances where a bodhisattva appears like that, you know, it could be helping somebody according to their disposition of that lifetime, in the hopes that then slowly their mental capacity will increase and they'll be able to understand things in a deeper way. You know, because for example, some people, if you talk to them about, you know, happiness and suffering coming from our minds and karma, and our responsibility, and that there is no external creator, they totally freak out. They can't handle it. It's not at all beneficial for them to even think about that, because they just say, they fall to the extreme and they say, well, there's no creator, then there's no meaning to anything, then my mind makes it up, so I'm just going to say killing is good, and, you know, I mean, they get very confused. I mean, you see this sometimes, people who say, oh yeah, you know, there's no good or no bad, so whatever I decided, good or bad, that's it. Wrong, okay? But many people believe that. You know, it's much better. For some people, it works if they have the idea of there being a creator, and then they think, oh, there's God, there's, you know, somebody looking over the, you know, there's somebody in control even though I'm not. Yeah? There's somebody who knows what's going on even though I don't. You know, God's merciful. If I pray, if I act good, I'll get some good results. And so for those people, it's definitely beneficial if they believe like that, because it brings them some peace of mind. They keep ethical discipline. They're kind. You know, why not? Then in future lives, on the basis of that, of avoiding that negative karma and creating positive karma, then, you know, slowly they can be led on more expansive and more profound paths. Okay, so here it's talking about sentient beings who have heretical views. Now, the word heretical is a little bit of a problem. It's a very Christian word. I don't know about you, but in my bag, heretical, sin, hell, you know, no thank you, I don't want those words. Unfortunately, when some Buddhist material was translated early on, they used Christian words because that's what people had available. So heretical here, it means paths with wrong views. Yeah, there isn't this idea in Buddhism of, you know, I mean, my idea of heretical, as I grew up thinking of the word, is there is God's truth, and if you don't believe it, you're a heretic, i.e., go towards the stake and be some marshmallows, you know. you have to realize, because I grew up Jewish, and so the word heretic was a very sensitive word, you know, because when you realize that, you know, many people got burned at the stake, Jews or whoever got burned at the stake because of being heretics. So this is not a word I'm fond of. You know, so it's not like there's just this Buddhist path and everything else is wrong and evil and bad and sinful and you're going to go to hell. Okay? What we're talking about, heretical paths here, is paths with wrong views. That if you have that philosophical belief, it will lead you to create a lot of negative actions. Okay? So, what kind of beliefs are those? Well, like I just said, if somebody just says, well, even somebody misinterprets emptiness. They say, well, everything's empty, so there's no good and there's no bad because it's all empty. So therefore, I can make up my own ethical standards because there's no good and there's no bad. Yeah, and as long as I don't get caught, it's okay. Yeah, so that's wrong view. Yeah, because if you have that attitude, then you go around doing whatever you want that pleases your ego and destroys the happiness of yourself and others. Okay? I was, you know, like I mentioned, I've been going to Israel several times recently, which I never expected in my life to be teaching Buddhism in Israel. And it's very interesting, this last visit was, the whole theme of the last visit was this whole thing about wrong views. And somehow I was very sensitive and I seemed to have a better understanding of this whole topic. And you look even at the whole political situation in the Middle East, the whole thing is based on wrong views. And as soon as you have a religious wrong view, it is so incredibly dangerous, you know, because you find, for example, some, you know, very Orthodox Jews who say, well, it says in the Bible that this is our land. You know, here it is. God gave us this land. Who's going to quarrel with the Bible? It's ours. You know, God said. And in 1967, we weren't even trying to get the West Bank back, but we won the war, and God gave it to us. So that's because he wants us to have it, so we should keep it. And I've met people who think like this. You know, with that kind of view, then, okay, we see. Then you have the Islamic Jihad. Okay? You know, it is virtuous to kill, you know, the non-believers in the name of God. God wants you to do it. Yeah? And then you add the Crusaders to that. Okay, you thought that you Catholics from that corner, Protestants that corner, we're going to get out of it. Yeah. You add that, you know, we've got to take the Holy Land back from the infidels. And then you have everybody killing in the name of God. Because God wants them to do it. Okay? And if you study European history, you know, over and over and over again, you know, wars are fought in the name of God. And people really seriously believe that God is on their side and wants them to kill. Okay? This is a good example of wrong views. Okay? You know when we went through the six root disturbing attitudes a few days ago? There was one that we didn't get to. Here, we can look at it on the longer outline. It's on page 11. So the sixth of the root disturbing attitudes is distorted views. Okay, if you look down the list, okay, well, view of the transitory collection is, you know, holding on to an inherently existent eye or mind. Holding on to an extreme, yeah, is saying that either there's a permanent soul that goes on after death, or, you know, since there's a permanent me and death is the end, then there's nothing after death. Then we come to wrong view, okay? This is denying the existence of cause and effect, rebirth, enlightenment, the three jewels. This does not mean that everybody has to say that they're a Buddhist. Yeah? But, for example, if you have a religious view that denies rebirth and denies cause and effect, then it's very difficult to establish a reason for keeping ethical conduct. Now, secular ethics, you know, there's the field of secular ethics, and this has been a big challenge in the whole West, of how do you establish a system of ethical behavior without a creator? because in the West there wasn't a belief in rebirth. Yeah? But if you lack something like that, you know, for example, you deny rebirth or the existence of a cause and effect, or even, you know, you don't have any idea about it, rebirth, but let's say you're a Christian and you deny cause and effect, you wind up with the same wrong view, which is there's no reason to keep ethical discipline, and then there's just havoc all around. Okay? Well, go ahead. We're here now.
But then in Christianity, what's implied is that there's punishment due to a creator.
Right. Yeah, so that keeps people in tow in some respect. Yeah. But it also enables them to fight the war with God on their side and create a lot of negative karma that way. Okay? Another way with this one of wrong view, you find if people say, we think that everybody is inherently selfish. Yeah, there's no possibility. A lot of people nowadays think this. You know, you talk to some psychologists or, you know, scientists or whatever. Yeah, I mean, evolutionary biology. Look at this. We are inherently selfish. Yeah, we come into this life, the whole purpose is to get our genes into the gene pool. So we're inherently selfish because we do anything we possibly can to get our genes into the gene pool. Okay, that's this kind of view, isn't it? Yeah? So if you have that view, then it precludes enlightenment. It precludes, you know, a lot of virtuous activity. Yeah? So I find it quite interesting how scientists see that, you know, the reason that we're alive is because we try and be bigger and better and beat the other guy, and that's how we keep our genes, you know, in the pool, rather than we're able to keep our genes in the pool because we cooperate with each other to stay alive. You know, I find it incredibly interesting that the Western mind has gone to we're able to stay alive as a species because we're selfish, because we're inherently selfish. You know, instead of we're able to stay alive as a species because we care about each other and we cooperate with each other. And isn't that interesting? Yeah? And how much of our present culture is based on this view that we're inherently selfish and we do everything to get our genes into the gene pool? And that justifies capitalism, it justifies WTO, which, I mean, it's used as a philosophical backing for all sorts of stuff. Yeah? Instead of looking at the same human history and saying, you know, we're able to survive because we help each other. Yeah? I mean, if we didn't help each other, forget it. Okay, but it's interesting what we pick out to build our philosophical system on. And that influences our whole mentality and our mind, doesn't it? Because when we start looking at everybody as somebody to compete with, yeah? And then you have that great book that came out where it was recently where some guy's saying, well, you know, rape is just part of evolutionary biology trying to get your genes in the gene pool.
Oh.
You know, you can't burn the man, it's just, excuse me. Yeah. I mean, that's wrong, really. Yeah, and so this whole thing is we're inherently selfish. Yeah, so why try and change everything? Our body controls us. Yeah, or nowadays, now you really got me on a soapbox. There's the whole view we're adapting, again, because of medicine and science, that, you know, who we are is just because of our genes. So if I'm an alcoholic, well, you know, it's just because I have alcoholic genes. You know, another reason to blame our parents, isn't it? Yeah? I have no responsibility, I just got these genes, you know? Or, you know, whatever negative thing, you know, people do, you know, some guy's a psychopath. You know, or a sociopath, or a rapist, or, well, it's just my genes, you know, excuse me, it's not my fault. I think that's terrible, you know. I mean, it's very popular in our society because it gets us out of feeling like we have any responsibility for our actions, that we can just blame our genes. But that mentality makes us, it gives us a victim mentality in which we feel, well, if I have those genes, then I can't do anything to change my situation. Or I have to go to the gene doctor and, you know, he'll kind of, you know, fix you up. And I think that leads to all sorts of wrong views. You know, incredible wrong views. I mean, that could be the basis on, you know, you get somebody like Hitler. I mean, that was Hitler's thing, wasn't it, you know? Certain races are superior genetically, so let's kill everybody else. Hmm? So, you know, we get wrong views in science and religion and psychology and philosophy, and we build whole cultures and whole political views and systems on these things, and then create horrendous negative karma and damage so many other lives. Okay? So this is the kind of thing the medicine Buddha is saying he wants to do something about. Thank goodness. Let's support him, you know? Now you see why it's worthwhile making offerings to Buddhas? Because if you can have somebody who's doing this kind of work, you know, it's really going to be valuable. Yeah? So we just look, and, you know, this is nothing we should be proud of and say, well, I don't have any of these heretical views. You know, it's other people who have the wrong views, not me, just coincidentally. Yeah. But we should always look in our own mind and see what our own wrong views are. Because when we talk about these disturbing attitudes, we talk about an innate level, and then we talk about a circumstantial or an acquired level. Okay? The innate level of the disturbing attitudes are the ones that we're born with. You know? We get angry, attached, we have self-grasping and jealousy and the whole thing without anybody teaching us any of this stuff. I mean, babies have it already. Okay? We're born with it. That's the innate stuff. That's the stuff that's really hard to get rid of. On top of that, due to wrong philosophy, psychology, science things, you know, then we develop a whole set of beliefs that we really adhere to. For example, you know, everything we are is a product of our genes, and we're inherently selfish, and God gave us this land, and we are supposed to kill the infidels, and, you know, all this other stuff, okay, which we believe. And a lot of, you know, some of this stuff we grew up believing, and it's kind of sitting there somewhere in our mind, and we have to take it out and really look at it. Yeah? I mean, a lot of the subtle concepts that we have that we just heard when we were little, that we use to justify our prejudice and bias and lack of responsibility and all sorts of things like that. So we have to really look at our own wrong views in this whole process. Yeah, not just others, but our own. We're still looking at the list of wrong views. Holding wrong views is supreme. It's thinking that all your other views are the best ones. Okay? So just coincidentally, you know, I have all these wrong views, and they're really the best ones to believe in. And holding bad ethics and modes of conduct are supreme. You know, the Tibetans always give the example because, you know, Buddhism started out in India. And there were some very radical kind of Hindu sects, and some of them believed that, you know, if you jump on the trident and the little spear came out the crown of your head, it meant you were going to be enlightened. So they used that as an example of wrong views. Okay, I mean, we kind of laugh at that, and we curl up our eyes, and, you know, who in the world would believe that? Yeah. Well, you know, we have our own version of wrong views and wrong ethics here in the States, don't we? I mean, yeah. I mean, Ku Klux Klan. Yeah. And Hitler. And I mean, it was the same, you know, wrong views. Yeah, that just, you know, systems that justify unethical behavior saying it's ethical. Yeah? Or you have, you know, different groups. I mean, we were talking about Jim Jones earlier, and what was the other one? Heaven's Gate, you know? And then, I mean, people have all sorts of weird views justifying all sorts of weird actions. You know? I mean, some of us in the 60s, they have done a little bit of it too, you know. I'm going to get enlightened dropping acid. Okay? Acid is my spiritual path. Yeah? I see I pushed a few buttons there. Must have met you guys at some parties. We don't recognize each other now. You're loaded back there. But, you know, all sorts of belief systems that we have. Oh, you want me to push some more buttons? Shall I do it? Look at the abortion issue in this country. Okay? Both sides are full of wrong views. You know? One side, the right to life, you know, we can go and kill the doctors because it's virtuous to save them from aborting the babies. And the pro-choice people saying, you know, it's the woman's decision, forget about the baby. You know? Just go right ahead, you know, it's not even a living being. Can I push the more button? Yeah? But you can see, you know, it's like wrong views on both sides. Both sides, not very much compassion on either side. Okay, so, and you know, we often, very often in our culture too, we have the belief that we can do whatever we want as long as we don't get caught. You know? So if we use, I don't know if people do this so much now, this is my old 70s thing, you know, you get the phone card number from a big company and you make long distance calls. Do people do that now too? Oh, they do? Okay. You know, but we say, but you know, these are big companies. I'm not stealing from a person. Yeah? And besides, these companies, you know, they cheat other people, so it's okay if I use their credit card numbers to make long distance phone calls. Because I'm not harming anybody, and you know, it shouldn't be their money anyway. Meaning it should be my money. Okay? But it's kind of, it's a wrong view. And so we justify our negative actions saying that there's something virtuous. Okay? So we get into all sorts of stuff. You know? And that's why I say we really have to look at our own minds and how we create, you know, philosophies that say my negative actions are good ones. Okay, so there's lots of that kind of stuff. You know, it's, we shouldn't just think, oh, well, I don't have wrong views of ethics and, you know, how does it say, bad ethics and modes of conduct is supreme because I don't think that, you know, people should go around jumping on tridents. You know, that's not the issue. Okay. Okay, so the Buddha, the medicine Buddha said, you know, if there are sentient beings who tread upon heretical paths, this is all this kind of mental garbage that he's talking about, which leads, and very often, you know, these acquired wrong views are, I mean, they're so incredibly damaging, aren't they? They aren't even the innate ones. Of course, you have to have the innate ones to get the acquired ones. But the acquired ones are, you know, we use as philosophies to harm each other and think that we're right. God and apple pie and mom. Isn't it, you know? You go and join the army and go kill the commies and you're virtuous. Okay? This is Uncle Sam's philosophy. Yeah? And we're taught that. Yeah? And then on the basis of that, create a ton of negative karma and harm a lot of other living beings. Yeah? Because killing is good if you do it for your country. Yeah? Killing is bad if you stand on the street corner and do it. But if you stand in a, you know, if you create a battle zone and do it, then it's okay. Yeah? Killing is okay if your government sends you to do it. Okay, so, all this kind of stuff. Yeah? This is what the medicine Buddha says. So I will cause them all to peacefully abide within the path of enlightenment. Yeah? I will cause them all to peacefully abide. Okay? So instead of being so involved in harming each other under the influence of all these wrong views, you know, to peacefully abide within the path of enlightenment. Okay? So rather than looking outside for the cause of harm, looking inside for the cause of harm and doing something about it. Okay, so, you know, I vote for Medicine Buddha. Yeah, if this is his election, you know, if he's campaigning on, I vote. Yeah. Nobody says there are those who are adherents of the Shravaka Pratyeka vehicles. They will all become securely established in the great vehicle of the Mahayana. Okay, the Shravaka is called the hearer vehicle. The Pratyeka Buddha is called the solitary realizer vehicle. Those are both Buddhist paths. Okay, so we often talk about the three vehicles. The hearer, or Shravaka, the solitary realizer, or the Pratyeka Buddha, and the Bodhisattva, or the Bodhisattva. Okay? Those are the three vehicles. If you practice the Hero Shravaka or Pratyeka Buddha vehicle, you become an arhat, a liberated being, but you don't get all the way to enlightenment because your motivation has been basically to get yourself out of cyclic existence. So, these, you know, definitely they're good goals, and definitely the people who have actualized them, who have become arhats, who are out of cyclic existence, are definitely worthy of our respect and our homage, you know, because they've certainly done a lot of stuff we haven't been able to do. Okay? But why does Medicine Buddha say that he's going to lead even those beings into the Bodhisattva vehicle? Is because if you really, you know, first of all, the enlightenment or the liberation of the hearer and a solitary realizer isn't the full enlightenment of a Buddha, okay? So they have some more to practice. And also, because if you attain full enlightenment as a Buddha, then you have all the wisdom, compassion, and skill necessary to benefit all sentient beings. And although arhats can do a lot of benefit, you know, their benefit is minuscule compared to the benefit that a Buddha can do. And so that's why Medicine Buddha wants to lead them also on the path to full enlightenment so that they'll be able to give that, you know, resounding benefit that only Buddhas can give. Okay? Right. The term Hinayana applies to here in Shravaka vehicle. Here in Pratyeka Buddha vehicle. It's, that term can be very offensive to people who practice those because literally translated it means like small vehicle or modest vehicle. So it sounds like a put down. I think in ancient India in some ways it was meant as a put down. Okay, kind of use small motivation, you know, but let's have a big one. But nowadays, I think that term just creates discord in the Buddhist community. Yeah, and when I say that in ancient India, I think it was meant as a put-down, it wasn't meant as a put-down of those people or of those traditions. It was meant as a put-down of that motivation. Okay? But nowadays what happens is we think of it as a put down of the people and the traditions. And that creates a lot of, people feel quite offended. So I think it's better not to use the term Hinayana nowadays. Yes?
But wouldn't this be a little message to a person with another tradition?
Oh, then, it might be. It might be. It depends. You know, it depends upon the person. Because somebody might follow those vehicles, and I mean, they believe in the Buddha, they believe in enlightenment, but sometimes they don't believe that everybody has the Buddha potential to become a Buddha. Okay? So some of the people who follow those traditions say that, you know, for example, in our eon there were 1,000 fortunate Buddhas. Well, those slots are already filled, so the rest of us become arhats. Yeah? But they still believe enlightenment exists. So I think if you could say to those people, you know, it's a good motivation, practice and become an arhat, but, you know, try, maybe just bear in mind that maybe after you become an arhat, you might think of going for full enlightenment. Okay? Depends how you say it, I think.
On the net, I've come across seeing people using the term Sarvasiyana and Bodhisattvayana as sort of a way not to offend people.
Right.
And I guess both of those terms actually were used in ancient.
Yeah, but then you have Prajnaviya Kalyana also. Yeah, so you got to include them in there. Yeah, Prajnaviya Buddha Yana. Yeah, it's a difficult thing. Yeah, but those terms were used. Well, we got through one more. Okay.